is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 6th of February, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Joining me in studio today, I got a special guest, is Mr. Mario Sasha Dunn Woodside. I've asked Mr. Dunn to join me because he has been producing some things I want to talk about. And it's been a long time since I've been trying to get him on the show, but everything worked out perfectly because he is here in the midst of Black History Month. Now, it's not our Black History Month. See, we are a majority Black country, so we could celebrate Black history all the time. What happens is that when you have plural societies with multiple ethnicities or multiple, I wouldn't say ethnic, but nationality descendants, right? Like we have a country filled with people in diaspora. So when you are not in your own homeland, right, then you celebrate certain things. When you are a minority in your homeland, and you celebrate certain things. So in the United States of America, Black History Month is very important because over decades, what we've been exposed to is that the history of America has often left out the history of Africans in America. And so Africans in America have carved out, lobbied for, a space for national recognition of the contributions that they have made to the country that they are a part of. So technically in the Bahamas, we don't need a special Black History Month because we are majority Black. We don't need a special day to celebrate the contributions of Africans in the Bahamas because every day we have the capacity to celebrate the contributions of Africans in the Bahamas. Now, what would not be unusual in a Bahamian context, if we had Greek History Month, right? Or if we had a Jewish History Month, because these groups represent minorities in our country. See, it's odd to have a flag day in your own country, because you could fly your flag in your own country every day, any day, any time, within the rules for flag hanging in the country. So when we look at our Haitian brothers and sisters and say, why y'all having flag day in our country? We supposed to be having flag day. They represent a minority in the country. And so we carve out a special day for them to celebrate their heritage. Now, we so close to America, though, the Bahamas, that when they celebrate Black History Month, we also celebrate Black History Month because Black Bahamians were also a part of the development of the United States. Almost every Flag Day or historic commemoration in Southern Florida should or does or could reference the contribution of a Bahamian or a group of Bahamians to the development of that area. So today, I have Mr. Mario Sasha Dunn Woodside in studio with me. He is an author, he's a musician, he's a photographer, he is a creator, and he's a Pan-African. Or maybe he just called himself an African. So one of the questions I want to ask him today is, like, what is your African experience? Do you refer to yourself as Pan-African, or do you refer to yourself as African? And what does that look like? Now, the song we opened the show with, the intro told you who it was by. As soon as I heard that lick, I say, look at fella Coot. Look at my brethren reborn in the flesh. And that prompted me, I said, I got to ask him this question. Do you consider yourself, are you African or are you Pan-African? And do you make a distinction?
Well, first off, good morning, Bahamas. I like to say good morning. This is your boy, Sasha Dunn. And yeah, a friend of mine is Mecca Grimo. He said this one thing before because he's a Haitian. And he was born inside America. And he always produces Haitian music, you know what I'm saying? Haitian rap. And he said, I was never born in Haiti, but Haiti was born in me. So in essence, I wasn't born in Africa, but Africa was born in me. And what I mean by that is this. And what do I refer to myself as? I like the term Pan-African. The reason why I like the term Pan-African because it came from a great man, Dr. Marcus Garvey. And Marcus Garvey pushed it out the idea of Pan-Africanism just to unite Black people under one banner, basically, because we all get caught in this nationalistic way of thinking because in this era that we live in, which is the industrial age, this national borders came up and then now everybody here of this national mindset. So in reality, it's just a boat drop them off the Haiti place and then drop us off here. So we all as Africans at the end of the day, and that's the purpose of the book too, you see, and and my works, which is to unite us as opposed to just have us fighting against each other, you see?
All right.
Because there's a great African saying I love to say, which is this. When grasshoppers fight, crows have a feast. So if we all waste time fighting amongst ourselves, the crows will feast on us, bro. And they are.
I think that's a very important sentiment. One of my other favorite Pan-African music artists is by Jadina.
Oh, Shadina, yeah.
And on his album, 85 to Africa, right? Which I thought, like, that's Pan-Africanism, because 85, the reference to 85 is Route 85 in Atlanta.
Which
takes you to huge Pan-African spaces in Atlanta. He has a song called, I think, Worth the Wait.
Okay.
And one of the intros, one of the little verbal inserts into the song is an African leader reminding us, though, right, that the continent of Africa is vast, multicultural, thousands of different languages, thousands of different cultural practices, and that could occur within one region that we now call a nation, right? And when we get to that point, we understand that the nationality, a political construct, is not sufficient to encapsulate or capture what exists in Africa. So the speaker made this point that it stunned me. Because here I am, Pan-African, having this African experience through Jadina's music. And the boy say, hey, that on this continent, the thing that binds us that is most common is the color of our skin. Right? And I think it was a cry for us to, like Garvey, to hold together, to strengthen together, to understand that although we are all different culturally, and in some ways the same, though if we forget the ways in which we are the same, then we may become the same grasshopper, right? Yeah. That is feast for the crows after the war.
Yeah, because I take, for instance, they give reference to that in Rwanda, mm-hmm. the Hutu and the Tutsis. And that, I mean, it's like you have two of the same people that commit a massive genocide on each other, you know what I'm saying? But then that go deep.
Mm-hmm.
That go really deep, you know what I'm saying? So.
And what we're finding out now with the, I want to use the word, extreme tumult, right? The mm-hmm. the conflict happening in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yeah.
We know that country, that region was split into two countries, right? That one country split into two countries
mm-hmm.
for the purpose of extracting resources, right? We see that the conflict
mm-hmm.
still rages on
mm-hmm.
because the political constructs that we attempted to resolve the problem with are not sufficient.
But then
they're not authentic, and they are incongruous to the cultural uh-huh. and tribal rules,
mm-hmm.
right, and culture that these people live with.
I mean, from my perception of how I look at this, the whole situation is, the situation is more or less they're using the banner of Hutu Tutsi rebels and all this other different stuff, but the reality what they're fighting for is the resources.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And control of resources.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're just using it, and they're being funded by someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the someone is those who profit from this whole process. You know what I'm saying,
right.
Being the crows.
Yeah.
So On the surface, it seems like grasshoppers fighting grasshoppers, but once again, it's the crows that feasting on the land afterwards.
Well, so I would suggest the crows have convinced the grasshoppers that they're supposed to be fighting each other.
All day, every day.
Yeah. Now, that's the Pan-African side.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I want to talk about, we're going to continue talking about, and that's going to be a heavy theme through the show, but let's start with the thing that brought me to you for this discussion. Your book, Glory, A Journey into African Royalty, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us about the book and tell us what inspired you to write it.
Well, the story I usually tell is because the first book I intended to write was a book on my mother, because she passed away during 2020 from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But then God just stopped me and said, "Nah, we can do that."
Mm-hmm.
But He said, "This one you got to do for your people first." You know what I'm saying? Like you lay the foundation for the people first. And I was like, "People," you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the only thought that came to my mind was, "Okay, what the one deficiency I notice in all of my people is this, boy. We lack knowledge of self, boy. Where mm-hmm. we come from and who we is. Because like the one question I always ask people, it's almost like a litmus test." I always ask myself, "Boy, name me three great black people from history before slavery,"
mm-hmm.
and everybody's just draw a blank.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, across the board. I mean, only as of recent, I started seeing younger kids would say like Mansa Musa and Abed. Ah, it's like there's a change coming. You see,
mm-hmm.
So in realizing that there's a shortcoming, the one thing I realized is okay, I need to fix that. Not say I need to fix it, but I need to try put my best foot effort, put best foot forward to try to fix this problem, which is this lack of knowledge of self. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel as if once you have a whole generation that know themselves and know where they come from and know what the possibility, because once you know self, you know the possibility. Just like take for instance, when I see a group of young men now, I mean not now, but that was always in my mind because I was them. So I don't see a bunch of gangsters who can never be nothing, you know what I'm saying? Or a bunch of killers. No, I just see young kings who just probably don't know their lineage. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Then, for instance, sourcing your music last
mm-hmm.
night
mm-hmm.
online, y'all go to YouTube, search Sasha Dunn, subscribe, hit mm-hmm. all till the bell turn black. That's what we could do for all Bahamian artists.
Appreciate
just
you,
get their numbers up, mm-hmm. right? There's a couple of tracks that had a couple of curse words in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's fire, you know, but I'm 48, so I gotta behave in the public. I like them. I couldn't play them on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "This place makes some gangster rap. I like it."
Mm-hmm.
We denigrate these young people who are making gangster rap without pausing for a second and asking, is it possible? Is it possible that these young people are actually reflecting the environment and the communities that they live in? Is it possible that what they're rapping about that makes us so uncomfortable is their lived experience? Because we like to just denigrate young people and say they're responsible for everything. They're responsible for the crime. They're responsible for the lawlessness. So when I heard the song you did with AR,
yeah,
nice first verse, but then he have that one little soft cuss word in there.
Mm-hmm.
I run hard for a second. And then I calm myself down. You know why? Because I remember that Blind Blake made a song called Jones, Oh Jones. You better leave that gal alone. He say, I going to get my Gatling gun. I going to chop you up to in pieces just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same Blind Blake that wrote Love, Love Alone caused King Edward to lose the throne, who had a relationship with Edward and his wife. If only, not a, it don't have to be a deep relationship.
Yeah.
It could have even have just been peripheral,
mm-hmm.
but enough for him to write the song.
Oh, wow.
Right? First of all, these young people didn't invent gangster rap.
No.
And they didn't invent the art form authentically what they experience in their communities. If Blind Blake could go from Jones, Oh Jones, you better leave my gal alone, to Love, Love Alone, then the capacity for growth and understanding is there. Second point, in the midst of Black History Month, not to say that as if, oh, when you get mature enough, you throw those things away. That is our legacy as Africans in the diaspora, especially those of us who came through the transatlantic slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
We have a legacy of violence in us, right? When we talk about DNA and the blood, is something that you said about your mother's funeral and waiting.
Mm.
Yes, maybe we have to go backwards to come forward.
Yes.
And that, so that we know where her lineage connects right to the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the blood, and we bring that trauma with us through the blood.
Yeah. See, like that, for instance, the culture, I mean, really, one thing I realize is we need a new formation of culture and idea of culture because, take for instance, the culture is and the thing you're talking about through the blood is epigenetics, is it?
Yeah.
Epigenetics is actually a real thing where trauma could be passed down through them.
Through the DNA?
Yeah. And that's what we experience. So the thing is, but I like to think of the human being as a biomechanical with robots or just like with, with cars. Once you could sync them up and update the core programming of it, the machine would run faster and more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Like take for instance, and if we are biomechanical machines and our mind is like a computer, liken the African mind to like a super quantum computer. And the reason why I said it, because let's look at the works that we produced through the past. Like take for instance, the pyramids,
mm-hmm.
like with the book Glory. That's the first thing that starts with, Khufu. And you realize every chapter starts with a rap verse.
Mm-hmm.
The rap verse for Khufu was Rick Ross. Big contract, big contractors, build pyramids, period, we masters. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a race of people that produce something like the pyramids, bro, that's still to the day, when you go watch stuff like Ancient Aliens, they don't be like, wait, aliens build this, Mike. Humans couldn't build this. But keep in mind, when you go down Nubia, you have way more pyramids than Nubia.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? It's like some Africans being building pyramids. You feel what I'm saying? We just perfected it at that point there. And so these things that were built thousands of years that we cannot reproduce today. Now that's the horrifying thing, that would shock most people. We cannot build pyramids today.
Mm-hmm.
We could build some pyramid shape. We could build some pyramid-like, but not the pyramids. We can't build those. So you're telling me a people that built this thing still exist this day? Just like when Napoleon went down into Africa, after he conquered all of Europe, he went out to Africa to be crowned and all this other different stuff. He carried this count with him, Count de Volney. And Count de Volney said this, to think the race of people who are our camel jockeys and who clean up our camel and all this thing, they develop all of this civility. They are the developers of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he said that, because when they went there, they the Sphinx with the nose, they saw all these things, and it blew their minds to know that we did, these people did this, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's why my whole goal is to bring people to that point, to let them know that slavery, I mean, like slavery wasn't a part, I mean, it wasn't really a part of African history, but more or less an interruption of African history.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go before slavery. Hence the reason why I asked that question. Name me a great black person before slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And most people can't, you see what I'm saying? Because it's like a concerted effort to best like...
Well, I mean, we could establish it right now. One of the intentions of the Maafa, right, the transatlantic slave trade and the protocols that came with it, the intention was to convince us ultimately that they created us.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to convince us that they created us, they have to convince us that our history started with them.
Yeah. Honestly, and the crazy thing is people don't realize is it's just these people putting a remix on history, and that remix is just like I say, just like with a machine. If you have this ultimate quantum computer mm-hmm. and you're putting DOS on it or Windows 95 on it, it ain't gonna work to its full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the reason why you see us just running up and down, killing each other, doing a bunch of craziness right now. I mean,
with a degree of lawlessness. Let's put it like that.
But then see. I always give mention to this guy, Thomas Sowell, boy. Thomas mm-hmm. Sowell, I tell people, look up Thomas Sowell, boy. Thomas Sowell is a scholar from America and an author. And Thomas Sowell connects this thing called cracker culture, which is, he explains that when we think back to those colonial days, we always think about the colonial masters,
mm-hmm.
who were the investor type and the elites. We think of them, but then we forget.
The middle management. Mm-hmm.
That middle management is the one who the lower class, who the slaves had to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
And when the slaves brought in, this who was told to them is, this is the master. So automatically, if you're being oppressed, you can look at your oppressor as, this is civility, this is what civility is. And if you introduce that to generations after generation after generation after generation, like you said, the epigenetics of this whole situation, mm-hmm. you can have some messed up people because we can start adopted a lot of their ways and thinking their ways is our ways. And then the elites who then will maintain their civility to a certain extent, I guess, they then look at us and branded us as, that's us. We are this violent, uneducated group of people. Nah, you uneducated us. You for almost
you're responsible
years.
For that.
For 200 plus years, you say, don't let them read. If they read, kill them. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. If you hear them speaking their own language, kill them.
Yeah, if you see them praying to their own gods,
take them out.
You know what I'm saying?
So let's get into the book, Glory, A Journey into African Royalty. And let me reference this person because the book also includes great images, pictures of the individuals that you reference. I want to say good morning to illustrator Craig Culmer, who is a part of the construction of the book. Now, Glory is a history book. The introduction starts with a quote from Marcus Garvey,
yes,
quote, a people without knowledge of their past, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. 8 chapters, and we look at Pharaoh Khufu, Queen
Amanerinus.
Amanerinus.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking, because we have a show friend, Amina Enius, who just came fourth in the national senior student culinary competition.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a vegan chef.
Oh, wow. That's
and powerful. She came fourth. And she's still a junior competing at the senior level.
Oh, wow.
But Amina is a name intentionally chosen from her, from Africa.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because she's one of the many Candace queens, mm-hmm. or the Kandaki queens. And that Amina is a part of it because you have another Candace queen called Amanitor.
Yeah.
And Amanitor, her story is just as amazing as Amanerinus. And like I said, these. And the crazy part is, I try to balance of the book, which is I have 4 kings and 4 queens. And the crazy part of it is this. You would think the stories about the kings are the one where it's just battle-ridden and all that. Nah, realistically, the one with the queens is battle-ridden and it's like amazing, epic stories. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. In fact, the chapter 2, Queen
Amanerinus.
Right, the one-eyed
Kandaki queen
of Nubia.
Yeah.
The quote you started with is from Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
You could be the king, but watch the queen conquer.
Yeah,
absolutely. Babe. Now tell me, I have 2 books in my hand right now.
Mm-hmm.
One is Glory, A Journey into African Royalty. Is Glory, A Journey into African Royalty, the deluxe edition. So tell me, and the illustrations are even more, which is fantastic. Who's...
Nah, this one's but the art on this one is AI.
Okay,
I'm not gonna lie, because see, the AI is now what helped me change the game actually, because me having AI at my disposal now is like me being Walt Disney, because now I could have the illustrators just do what I want and make it as beautiful as I want. You know what I'm saying? That's as I want. Craig did an amazing job in the time scale that we had, but as you can see, the amount of work that I could put in there, like take for instance. And the difference between the deluxe version and the regular one is I added an extra king in there, which is Hannibal Baca. Uh-huh. And then I added an extra queen in Zynga. And the thing about this is I have a friend, Roland, he's a neurosurgeon in Atlanta, Bohemian neurosurgeon. And Roland is a great supporter of me, and I appreciate him. And he got this, he got the first copy and gave it to his kids, and they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time I went to Atlanta and was pushing the book over there, his son bought the book, and Solomon sat down there with that book, and it's like, and I watched him got engrossed, like he has forget everything and it's gone into the book, dive into it literally. And when he sat down and was just reading the book, that's what I realized. This book is for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the adults would love it, but really, it's almost like an African manga, almost.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has a graphic novel feel to it, which makes it accessible to the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I love it. And what I like about it is how, because you have the capacity of AI available to you, you are able to put faces familiar to us today.
Yes.
Into a
ancient past.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I see. In fact, each quote that you start the chapter with also includes the image of the performer.
Yes.
In an African time period.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I want to go, producer. Let's prepare for a break. When we get back from the break, please play one of those songs on the playlist by Sasha Dunn. When we come back from the break, we got to start talking about this
game.
This game. Yeah. I don't even want to tell people what type of game it is yet when we get into it. Producer? We're going to get to that producer in a second. Producer say, read some text before we go to the break, please. Here's a text. Great show as usual. Are you proposing you get rid of our holidays, Miss Green? I mean, black people like his holidays. Right now, Texter, why would you say something so exciting amongst such excitable people and not expect excitement? Maybe when we get back from the break, I'm gonna delve into that. Well, that's a joy of a text, eh? Because I like holidays too, I could be honest with you. And as an African who was enslaved for 400 years, like not me personally, but in my blood, I could still feel it. Mm-hmm. Something about holidays I just like, man.
Yeah,
but at the same time, we got plenty of work to do.
Yeah, man.
We got plenty of work to do. I don't know if we could have any holidays. Anyway, you tune into On the Clock with Aaron Green. We go into a break. Stay tuned. Sasha Dunn. And On the Clock, we'll be right back.
I'm calling out these politicians. All these crooked politicians. Turning my kings into beggars, my queens into paupers. That's why I'm on a mission. To keep myself in a position to change the conditions of my people living from ghetto to ghetto, from Nassau to Freeport, Lagos to Paris, from Chirac to Trenchtown. They holding my people down, them cities we burn them down. Fire and smoke be the voice of the voiceless, while them kids scream the name of the nameless. Cops standing there holding that stainless, looking so brainless. Yeah, mama sitting in a house watching TV, screaming the name of Jesus. When they gonna stop this madness? Me with sit backs and lights a cigar with a chauffeured car, paid by me and y'all. Is this taxes or this madness? This is all facts, no fallacy. We gotta change this here reality. It starts here with you and me. We gotta be the change that we wanna see.
Wait, why you look so mashed up? Like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
No, real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-847 Family Islands.
I been up at Pinda, and I meet him in his showroom. I said, Pinda, I just come out of a showroom in Portugal, and let me tell you something, them showroom and selection ain't got nothing on yours. Man, I like this stock up you got here. What I really like is the range of sizes that come in, 8x48, 12x24, 24x24, and what I really, really like, more than the things I really like, is the price. From $275 a square foot to $494 a square foot, and all in between, you can't beat that. Not even with a 2x4 from Enterprises.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Hey everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the night of love.
Also performing Regina Bell. Also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band, Back to Love. Saturday, February 15th. It's a spectacular all-white affair at the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online, bahamasetickets.com. Plantation Bar and Grill, Big Boy's Bar and Grill. For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there. Make it like
it was. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.
Many of the tourists who board the large tenders to go ashore meet for the first time West Indian diving boys who beg for coins to be tossed into the crystal clear waters and be retrieved by diving. Descendants of slaves brought to the Bahamas when the islands were bases for slave running to the United States.
Yeah. Huh? Sash. Vendetta.
My mother, my father did not suffer and die to give me an education to slight or threat or discourage my people. Cause whatsoever education I acquired after their sacrifice of over 300 years, I shall use for the salvation of the 400 million black people of the world. And the day when I protect my people, may God Almighty say there shall be no more life for you. I unequivocally rejected the racist assumption of much white American Christianity. Namely, that God is creating the black man inferior, and that he intended Negroes to be a servant class, used of wood and vials of water.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. My guest in studio is Mario Sasha Dunn, and we are talking about Mr. Woodside's, portfolio of work. I can call him in this moment a Renaissance man, photographer, creator, author, videographer, rapper, hip-hop artist, Pan-African thought leader. Maybe I can, just for a moment, I can call him a Renaissance man. Sasha Dunn, what was the name of the song we opened the show, we came back from the break with?
Oh, that was Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. Yeah. Words of the One, Marcus Garvey.
Yes.
In it. And that clip at the very beginning, mm-hmm. Where'd you get that clip from?
I found it online. I was looking online. My brethren Seven was an associate of mine with Andrew. We was making a video for that. And I just went online looking for all African, all Bohemian videos, because the whole goal of the video was to show that even though the struggle was back then, it still carries on now, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So Marcus was fighting back then, so we still got the fight still carries on now.
Absolutely, absolutely. I that was so powerful, the intro to that song. I wanted to tell the audience right away
who that was.
Who that was and where it was from and why, the why of it.
And then, see, I mean, and just like you say, I mean, and I keep pushing myself, but because I find it weird like that. I don't like pushing my music like that. I don't like, but I would say go back and listen to that song. But and the reason why I say listen to that song is because what Marcus say on that, he talks very fast and a different slang from ours. But if you understand what he's saying, but it's beyond powerful, boy.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very powerful. Listen, I got a couple of live reads here. I'm excited about it. You could be excited about it too, so stay tuned. Yeah. First of all, Kalik,
yeah,
the Bear of the Bahamas,
yeah,
invite you to Victory Fest,
wow,
2025. Join us Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners.
Movie.
The Saxon Superstars. I can see you're a fan right now. Mm-hmm. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Lil Giant and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fan Sean and D-Mac.
Yeah,
let's celebrate the four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxon's Superstars. And listen, before then, Kalik the Bear of the Bahamas is inviting you to join them at the New Village Pub, Grove Holiday, Tropic Tree Delight, Primetime Lounge, and the Pond
everywhere
for the big game.
Everywhere.
Buy a bucket of Kalik and get two free shots of Jose Cuervo all game day. Wow. Kalik reminds you to drink responsibly, boy, especially since I could be crying. I could be crying Super Bowl day. My Dolphins didn't make it. We didn't even make it halfway through the season.
I ain't gonna laugh, boy. I don't know what the Dolphins do to y'all. I don't know what the Cowboys do to y'all to make y'all convince y'all that Dolphins ain't been good since the 80s, bro. Since the 80s, Dolphins.
Listen, this was our year.
I hear that.
This was our year, and they stopped it on the first game in the season, trying to arrest Tyreek Hill on the way into the state. From that moment, I knew
the show was going on. The fix was in. The fix was in.
Because this was our year. I mean, to be honest with you, I thought this was the Lions' year.
Yeah.
They didn't make it. I'm so sad.
Listen, babe. I used to love football. Because football is one of the truest sports where you could say it is a team sport. You know, one man make the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they let me down, man. When Seahawks went against was the Patriots, they didn't play Marshawn Lynch at the end. I was like, hold on, boy. Is this really sports or are you watching WWE, boy?
Yeah. To what extent is it scripted? And that's a part of this Black History Month conversation as well, you know, because our athletes, right, chattel in a plantation system called American football. But before we go there, because we still got to talk about this game, there's a caller flashing. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning to your guests.
Morning, how you doing?
Morning, brother.
I'm doing well, man.
Blessings.
I'd like to wish your guest all the success in his efforts on trying to spread African consciousness and trying to mute that they have greatness within them and to try to explore that. I just want to start off by saying that.
Appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you.
I just wanted to ask, because I heard him use talk on the book, and the book said something about road to royalty in Africa or something. And I just wanted to ask him if in his book, if he included His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie the First in it.
No, I haven't gotten to Selassie yet. Keep in mind, this is only the first volume, brother. What you got again?
This is only the first volume. Just happy to hear that, man, because anyone who is doing any type of talks about royalty or stuff or kingdoms or whatever in Africa.
Yeah, man, you have to come up.
Mentionable doing injustice because he is like, you know, the reigning in our time, and he is like a link from the present day to the ancient times, you know what I mean?
So most definitely. Most definitely.
I respect your efforts, and I wish you all the best in that. And also, and in closing, I just want to say that Ms. Green and I are friends on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a little music too. I mean, I'm a big thing. I mean, I just taught myself to play the guitar, and I make a little music. But the type of music I make is different. And I have a particular song that I've been supposed to post up, and I think I'll do it today sometime. And when I do it, I've never tagged anyone on Facebook, but I'll tag Ms. Green in it. And if she finds it interesting enough, I want her to reach out to you so you could listen to it, and then maybe you could tell me what you think about the song, because I feel as if the song is impactful. And it is dealing exactly with what you're talking about, like a success in your efforts that you're dealing with. Okay, my brother, Ms. Green, I hope you have a good day.
I hope you tag me and send it to me via Messenger.
I definitely will do that, Ms. Green. Trust me. Like I say, I'm going to make sure to do that today. Today is Bob Marley birthday, too, so I'm going to make sure.
Oh, wow. Powerful. Okay, bro.
All right.
Appreciate you, bro.
Absolutely. I didn't know today is Bob Marley's birthday.
I didn't even know that either, bro.
Absolutely.
You see how powerful God is?
Yeah, yeah. Look at that.
I do.
Let's talk about this game. I had something else I wanted to say. Let's talk about this game, though.
Okay, bro.
Because the thing I was going to say is I can't believe that in 2025, a police officer could end up with being fined $15,000 for attempting to procure sex with a minor, but they have not thought it fit to decriminalize cannabis for adult consumption.
Wow.
Recreational consumption.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's food for thought. That's food for thought. Y'all do the dishes on that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So now, the game. Mm. Lair of Africa Season 1 board game.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful angle.
It is a beautiful, beautiful box. Legends. The user guide comes with it. Okay. So, welcome to Legends of Africa Season 1. In this game, you'll build a deck of powerful leaders, armies, and resources inspired by the greatest figures in African history. Your mission? To outwit your opponent and claim victory on the battlefield. So what game is this most similar to? Is this like a mix between Monopoly and what they call it, like Magic the Gathering?
I would say the best way to define it is a mix between... I would say a Monopoly to a certain extent. I mean, because it has the chances of cards inside of it.
Uh-huh.
Pokemon and checkers.
Okay.
I would say it's more or less like checkers on steroids.
Okay.
And the reason why I say it's on steroids is because...
Remember, stay into the mic. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, the reason why I say steroids is because you have the same board system as the checkers, but only we have three slots instead of all of the multi-slots as checkers. And like Pokemon, because we're dealing with card decks.
Yeah.
And as you see on the box, there are five different leaders on the box.
Mm-hmm.
You have three ladies and two guys, Mansa mm-hmm. Musa, Shaka Zulu. And then you also have...
Amina of Zaria.
Yaa Santowe.
Uh-huh.
And Amanarinas. Yeah. And you could choose from either one of the decks. And the decks, like you see right here, it has a hero card.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dengus Rail. This is the Shaka Zulu deck.
Uh-huh.
Like it has a hero. The hero is like your, now if we liken it to another game, which is chess, the hero card and then your leader card is like your king card.
Okay.
It's like your king play, your king piece.
All right. It's complex. It's not just a little hop, throw dice. And it helps you to learn history. And I imagine you then figure out what these leaders strengths and weaknesses were. And
Aaron, I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, like, and this ain't me trying to big myself because I was just playing it the other night with some friends.
Yeah.
Because we beta testing it. Me and Oya and a friend of mine who's helped me along with this, Jordan Thurston. Jordan Thurston is like he's been a boy like a wealth of knowledge. Because trust me, he's done a good job and helped me because he's someone who can see, say, let's do the board and everything, and. As we play the game, I'm starting to realize that this thing is so dynamic that each deck has like a different personality. It mm-hmm. has the personality of the leader. I mean, that's what I wanted. I mean, I sound silly as the maker to be saying that I'm amazed by my own creation, but I'm amazed by it, bro.
Awesome. That is awesome. Now, where can we find the board game and the books?
Well, the books are on Amazon. You can go on Amazon, type in Sasha Dunn book, or the name of the book, Gloria, Journey to African Royalty and the Deluxe Edition. The board game, I haven't officially released it yet, but gamecrafters.com. Go into gamecrafters.com and type in gamecrafters.com. If someone wants to buy it right now, you get the beta version, but I have not, it isn't completed yet.
Okay.
I still have to tweak one design piece, one design flow, reorient the cards,
uh-huh.
and then also add one more thing to the rule book,
and then we'll be into production, mass production
by the end of February. You know what I'm saying, and then you can put your order in, if people want to get this, and I would tell people if you were wise, because I would say get this version if you go online and buy this version right now.
Mm-hmm.
Buy two versions. Buy one to play and just buy one to put in a safe and let it sit there for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Think about this like Pokemon, but I don't want you to sleep. Like, if you care, you bought a deck of Pokemon cards, like all the Charizard them back in 1995, and you had that right now. You know what your deck of Pokemon worth right now, bro?
Yeah, plenty.
Almost $500,000.
Yeah.
I literally watched a little boy go on with a fresh deck of cards and got $500,000 for it.
Dear parents, now is the time for you to sit and reflect on your past behavior and whether this this reflexive, domineering attitude, when my house is mine, I make the decision. Y'all don't know what value, and then you end up throwing away things that were purchased, captured for the intention of accruing value. Yes. Listen, we are at the end of the show. Producer, let's go to that phone line dead quick, and then I got to read through some texts. Mm. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, my darling daughter.
Morning.
And good morning, Mr. Sasha Dunn.
What you saying, big brother? All is got it.
Yes, sir. And, hey, you need to come on this lady show much more, man, you know, because this ain't enough. I mean, the information is so, hey, we need, why we are not teaching this information amongst the black populace wherever they are, especially in our country? Why? I mean, you explain a lot of things, and I understand why, right? So it's intentional. Mm-hmm. So I really believe the Bahamas, because we don't know ourselves, is the reason why we just hurt ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But my brother, you are a powerful man, and I just need you to know that, right? And
I appreciate you,
Ms. Green, I just need to live with this. Like, I just need to ask this question, and
yes,
you can answer when I hang up.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Green, is there a policy for when you lost your passport, you need to produce 3 of the first sheet of a lost passport in order to you to get a replace report?
No.
I'm hanging up and on. Listen.
Okay. No, you go and you make a police report. How you can produce the first 3 pages if it's lost? I understand what you're saying to me, though. We're not denigrating you. Mm. I understand why you're asking me and what you're asking me. No. I lost the passport. I had to go to the police station,
and
you just make a report. So you do that right away. But if you go to a police station to make a report that your passport was lost or stolen, and they ask you to produce the first 3 pages or parts of this passport that you came to them to tell them was lost or stolen, go to the passport office and indicate to them that you attempted to make a police report. Tell them which station you went to. And then ask them, say, please advise me, which station should I go to now to make this police report?
Yeah.
Right? And if when you go to that station, those officers say something to you like, well, this is not your district, right? You should report this in the district that you live in. Tell them, the passport office advised, after difficulty making a report, that I should come here. If they still give you the runaround, and I think it's the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that's responsible for passports, but I would then contact the PS at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the PS in the Ministry of National Security and indicate to them what had happened, detailing the stations that you went to, the individuals that you spoke to at the police stations, if you can, with badge number, at the passport office, and document all of that. Right, and go to Ministry of National Security and Ministry of Foreign Affairs and ask them to advise you what to do next.
Yeah.
Absolute right thing to do. Okay, play that music. So, Mr. Dunn, I have to invite you back. I want to do a whole series on the book. We walk through the characters and make the links to the present day, right? And the music is helpful for that. But here's a text I want to leave us with as we go. Aaron, I thought Donald Trump canceled Black History Month. However, what I hear today is a narrative for black people not to take accountability for themselves. Not at all. So two things. Donald Trump could cancel Black History Month. We take responsibility for ourselves by maintaining the celebration, by doing the work, whether Donald Trump or anybody in the United States wants to recognize it or commemorate it. That's us taking responsibility. He didn't cancel it, but I think they reduced tremendously what the national celebration would look like. But I read the commemoration. I read Trump's commemoration for Black History Month. So the Hutu and Tutsi were forced to commit genocide because of the white man. Black youth aren't responsible for their actions because of their circumstances. I'm not sure where you heard that text, but surely it's an invitation to Mr. Dunn to come back on so we could continue the conversation and clarify what you may have misheard. Last text from the same person, that's why I like the thread. Where's the accountability and responsibility which white people and youth teach their people that black moms can't seem to pass onto their children? So texter, let me show you a why. Here's what happens. If a black mother is working, say, for 12 hours a day, and if she lives in New Providence and she'd have to spend approximately 2 to 2.5 hours a day just getting to work and home, and then add some time for the children, picking them up and dropping them off to school, and then have to go home to a household where she may be responsible for children and older dependents, mm-hmm. right? To be honest with you, the question is, why do white moms have more time in their day than black moms?
The disparity of wealth.
Absolutely. We're out of time. Thank you, producer. Sasha Dunn, Black History Month. Let's journey into African royalty. And don't forget, click. Join them at the New Village Pub, Grove Holiday, Tropics Lounge, Palm Tree Delight, Primetime Lounge, and The Pond for the big game on February 9th. Buy a bucket of Click and get 2 free shots of Jose Cuervo all game day. And Click reminds you, drive responsibly, babe.
Yeah, well, yep. Movie.
Y'all have a great day.
Falling the beautiful form, skin kissed by the sun, y'all. That's how I get my energy from the synergy of my people doing positive things. That's why I spit this positive thing.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.